You know, God is good, and tonight I want to speak about the whole idea, really, of imagining the manger scene, imagining baby Jesus in the manger with Joseph and Mary and shepherds and wise men and all those who came to see Jesus, the animals in the stable, the straw on the ground, just imagining what that scene would have been like in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. Maybe it was a cold night. I don't know if it gets this cold in Bethlehem. I think it snows every now and then there. At least it makes news when it does. I don't believe it probably gets this cold. But, and we don't know if it was necessarily winter. But, still, they would have been exposed even to the elements. God, when we think of that time and place and moment in history, chose the time, the place, the people. He spoke of it years and years before, many years through the prophecies. He prophesied that it would come in the town of Bethlehem in the line of David. That word had been spoken hundreds and hundreds of years before through the prophets. And God, the Father, was the only one who knew when Jesus would come, the Son would come. But when he was ready to bring his child into the world, he needed some things. God needed parents for his son. God needed to bring his son through a woman. And all those things you think, it's like, how did God choose to look throughout all of Israel, to look to and fro to find the one he wanted, the one who fit the criteria that he was looking for to bring forth his child? And to give his child to parents that he knew would be in right standing, the right ones. Can you imagine entrusting your child into the hands of what you know to be fallible human beings? And you're trusting your perfect child in their hands? What is that like for a parent? Now, there is a good movie out. In fact, our family just watched it. We just watched the movie called Life Mark. I don't know if anybody ever seen it. It's a new movie. It's a fairly new movie called Life Mark. And it's probably actually came out this year. And now is you can stream it. Was in theaters for a little bit. I think it was a Kendrick Brothers. If you're familiar with the Kendrick Brothers and their productions, like Fireproof and some of those movies they've made, their faith-filled movies especially are wonderful for the whole family. So I encourage you to get this movie, maybe even over the holidays, and watch it. But it's about adoption. And it's interesting because part of the movie deals with this teenage young girl who's pregnant with her boyfriend. And they're like, we can't do this. We can't have a child. We're not ready for this. We can't raise a child. And they were scared and very fearful. And so they contemplated, okay, they contemplated terminating the child. And that fear was driving them to that place until there was a voice in that young girl that said, I can't do this. Because she was there. She was there at the, I guess would be like a Planned Parenthood. And she couldn't go through with it. And she walked out of there with her child. And she chose adoption. And in the process of choosing adoption, in her case, she had choices. In fact, the movie talks about, and it's important in the movie, that she can read biographies of the parents and read the life stories of the parents and why they wanted to adopt. And apparently, they were reading through quite a few biographies when they got to one that just stood out in her heart. In her heart, she says, I think this is the one. She wanted to talk to them in person, and she got the permission to do it, to call them up and to ask them a question. And the question had to do with fishing. Fishing. Well, as it turns out, she was an outdoors woman who liked that life of just hands-on doing things, fun, down to earth. And she saw that in this biography, that these two, the people like to fish and be outdoors and do things, and they were down to earth. And also their story, because their story was very important to how they had lost children and they were childless, and they so hungered and desired to have a child for themselves. But when she got the information back on how these people, of all things, hooked a minnow, and she knew, yep, these people, they're down to earth. They know how to get their hands dirty, and that said something to her about these people, that she felt she could release her child into their hands. And she had peace about it. It's a wonderful movie, because it really has a lot to do with how not only the child is blessed with life, the parents are blessed with a child, and the mother has the peace of heart to release her child into the arms of parents who she knows will love and take care and raise the child right. And of course, the movie has a reunion of all parties come together, and it's amazing. It's really amazing. And I'm not spoiling, because there's a lot of stuff in the story that's just really wonderful. But if you think about it, there was a choice. God had to make a choice where his child would come and into the hands of whom? Of whom? And what criteria was important to God? That his child would be raised by parents of his choosing. It's interesting, we know the story that God chooses obscurity. He chooses a out of the place, quiet place, that is not well known, small town. And he chooses common people. Common people. People who are not impressive. People who don't have a resume of any sorts. Or the resume say, built house, right? The skills were there, and I'm sure this is also Jesus would learn how to work with his hands. But the people that God chooses were of no account in their culture. They were of no significance. But it's in this that we also see the message that God is giving, that he's saying that the revelation of Christ is going to be for everybody, starting with people of the most humble stature, the poor, those who don't have much to their name. And it's interesting that God does not go or choose the rich and influential of the world. In fact, he stays away from them. He stays away from them because he knows a lot of what's in their heart. He knows the wickedness of the heart, that those sometimes with influence would intervene. And we know the story, the full story of Jesus, that those who had influence and power, oftentimes they tried to take possession of or attempt to kill God's plans altogether. And it's human nature that tries to control Jesus. And that's the sadness of human nature, to try to control Jesus and to make him fit in the world in the way we see fit. That we see fit. And God had a criteria to say, no, I cannot choose somebody who wants to intervene and take over my plans, the plans that I have for the whole world, that it cannot be subverted. God needed, and God needs, humble servants who will receive and nurture the gift of God. This is so crucial. Joseph and Mary were chosen based on criteria of God's choosing. And one critical, critical point that they had was that they were humble. They were humble of heart. They did not think themselves highly. They did not esteem themselves highly. They did not consider it consider it that they should give God advice on anything? Have you ever tried to give God advice? But God didn't need people who would give him advice. He knew what he wanted to do for the world. He needed humble servants. Servants who would love his child and be loving parents that would raise him as a young Jewish boy in the Jewish traditions, take him to temple at the times, appropriate times and places that he was to be taken, certainly on the eighth day to get circumcised, but many of the festivals and the things that were tradition, to take him to Jerusalem at the times and places when he needed to go. God needed servants who had obedient hearts that would hear the voice of God, listen to the voice of God, and obey the voice of God. How crucial is it when an angel comes to Joseph and says, don't divorce your wife. Stay with her because this is of my doing. This is of my doing. And Joseph says, okay, yes, I will stay. I will be faithful and I will marry Mary and raise this child. God needed those with obedient hearts that when he spoke, they listened and they did it. When he said, go to Egypt, that was a long way. Who did they know in Egypt? But if the life of his son was on the line, go to Egypt, they went. They went. They listened to the voice of God. God needed and needs servants who will listen to the voice of God and say, yes, I will. I will do that. Now think about it. If you were in a situation where you would have to give up your child, you would have to give up your child would be adopted by other parents. But you had a big say in what kind of parents would be chosen for your child. What would you value the most? What kind of things would be the most important to you? Would it be financial security? That your child would have financial care for the rest of their lives and you know, okay, I can be at peace because they have financial security and they'll be taken care of in that way. Would it be access to an amazing education so that they would have opportunities at their hand to do many things in life and many roads in life would be open to them? Would that be significant? Would it be okay if your child was raised in another country and learned a different culture and a different language? What would be important? What would be important? Would you consider a poor, uneducated couple from a small, out-of-the-way town of no importance, where maybe opportunities weren't so readily available? Where would you want your child to be? Isn't it amazing that the Father God did not choose a palace? He certainly could have. Jesus certainly deserved. He did not choose the educated of their day. He did not choose the influential or the powerful. He chose people of humble means and humble hearts. People that would look to God, hear his voice, and treasure the very things God was doing. That's one thing we know about Mary, that all the things she saw, all the things that she heard, even the testimonies that she was hearing from the shepherds as the shepherds came and brought testimony of the revelation of the proclamation of the angels and the worship, she treasured in her heart because all these things where she was beholding, she was seeing firsthand what God was doing, and it blessed her so much. She didn't need to be in control, but it was rich to her. It was rich to her that she was chosen and a part and seeing everything firsthand. She treasured the things of God. And she had the heart, as Joseph did, to nurture the gift of God. How important it is to have a heart that nurtures the very gift that God gives us. This sounds really a lot like how we're called to receive for in our own lives, to receive in our own lives the gift of God. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. He came down from heaven to be in human form, helpless, like a baby, absolutely in helpless form in the most humble circumstances. And this was of God's choosing. And it shows that he calls even the lowly to come and worship. The angels did. Who did the angels go to at the birth of the child? They go to these shepherds in a field. And they make a proclamation that today the Son has been born, the Savior has been born. He has come to you. But we might think, why shepherds? Do you ever stop and think about the Christmas story of why shepherds? To reveal this long-awaited, glorious announcement to shepherds, the greatest event of God coming to earth, but to reveal it to shepherds. I mean, if you know anything about shepherds, they're nothing special. They're of, again, no account. They work outside with animals. They smell bad. They smell bad. They don't get often to get showers. They're uneducated. They were considered in that day the very low rung of society. They were not highly esteemed. There's even evidence from historical writing by a first century historian that shepherds were not to be trusted. Don't leave your purse around them. Don't leave your wallet near them. Because there was evidence to the fact that they just might have sneaky hands. Or at least that's what the historian gave account to. Yet it's the angels that reveal this revelation to the shepherds. Now, of course, the shepherd's first response is fear. Not just a little fear, they're terribly afraid. They were absolutely terrified. They were about literally to lose themselves in fear because here is this radiant heavenly host coming down and speaking to them. And they were undone because who were they? Who were they in light of these heavenly hosts? And they felt their absolute immortality, or their mortality, excuse me. But the angels say, do not fear. Do not fear, because they have not come to destroy you. They've come instead to invite you into an incredible moment of worship. And the shepherds hear this. They hear that the angel is not coming to destroy, is not coming to bring judgment. Of course, they felt like, yes, we're probably the worst of the worst. We don't deserve. But that was absolutely part of the good news. The good news of a Savior coming to bring salvation. That it was not time to cower and hide with fear. No, it was time to worship. To worship and receive. To receive the gift of God. And the gift of God was for them. And they heard that. That this is for us? Yes, it's for you. The lowliest of society. The most simple, the most uneducated. Those who people don't necessarily want to fellowship around and be around or hang around. But yes, this is good news for you and for all. But God made it very clear who he was coming to first and foremost. It wasn't to the palace. It wasn't to the elite. It was to the simple. Because this was good news for all, and it had to be very clear that it was literally for everybody, not just for the good and well-liked in the societal highs, and then maybe some of the riffraff can come in the back door. No, that's not the gospel. In fact, it's probably reversed. It's probably, no, all those in the streets, the homeless, the needy, all those who are destitute, the prostitutes, come in to the banquet of God. And if you're rich and well-to-do in this world, that maybe you have a chance, if you humble yourself, to come in the back door. Well, in reality, there really is no back door in the kingdom of God, but there is the heart of the humble servant. So they heard the good news, and they went out to search for the baby. They found him, and they shared the message. They were some of the first evangelists, really, because they heard the good news. They heard the good news, and they had to share what they had heard, what they had seen, what they had experienced. They were overwhelmed. They immediately told of what they had heard. And then when they left Bethlehem, they were glorifying and praising God. Their lives had been forever changed. And what a picture for us about the gospel message. All are invited to come. All are invited to come and find Jesus in the manger. All are called to bow down before him amongst the animals and the straw, to get on our knees and to worship him. Yet it requires us to leave ourselves to find him. And what do I mean? For all those who have such a wonderful slice of pie in this world, for all those who are holding on tightly to the things of this world, the things that actually keep people from seeking Christ. It wasn't hard for the shepherds to leave their sheep that night. This was too good. This was far too good. The sheep would always be there. They had to go see. They had to go see the Savior of the world. They had to seek him. And I believe that's what we have to understand in this world, that all those, no matter how good you have it in life or how bad you have it in life, that what we have in this world is like refuse compared to knowing him. And that is the good news. And when we choose the things of this world over the Christ child, we're choosing to refuse the revelation that the shepherds had on that night. So we're to let go, to hold loosely to the things of this world, but to seek him. And if that means losing some things in this world, so be it. So be it. But to gain the treasure of heaven is the greatest thing that we could ever find. And so we, like the shepherds, search and find the Christ. And to know him, to celebrate him, and to worship him. The baby in the manger is for everyone, but it requires a humble heart. It's not a red carpet event, because God came to earth in humility. We also must come to God in humility and not let anything of this world stand in the way. To disregard all the riches and to receive the greatest treasure, we must come in humility, our lives laid down to worship the King. And let me just close with Luke 2. It says, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Let's worship the King. We're now going to prepare our hearts to take communion. And this is a time also when we come to receive, whether you receive the bread and the wine, or we have the juice and the wafer. You'll be invited to come and to receive in a moment. But just know this is also a time of commitment, a time before God where you commit your heart to him. He's come. He's come. But the question is, will we seek him? Whether it's first-time commitment or a recommitment to the Lord to give our hearts fully to him.